Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
Who do you believe when it comes to the economy and jobs? Maybe a politician like John Boehner.
This economy went through a very difficult meltdown. And over the course of the last year, the policies that are coming out of this administration have caused us to lose more jobs.
But when politics get involved, the numbers get smudgy. Ask an economist, she'll probably tell you that the economy is growing, unemployment is falling, and we'll probably start adding jobs next month. So who's right? Separating rumor from rhetoric. What's the buzz? On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Monday, February 1st. It's the first day of February, the second month of the year already. The takeaway for me on the economy is it's kind of like weight loss. They tell you don't check your weight every single day. If you really want to get a good idea of it, do it only like once a week to get the broader picture.
What's an economist to do then? Buzz economics on the takeaway. I love that. President Obama, weekend budget warrior.
We've heard plenty of talk and a lot of yelling on TV about deficits, and it's now time to come together and make the painful choices we need to eliminate those deficits.
The president speaking over the weekend about the big story today, the president unveiling a $4 trillion, nearly $4 trillion budget, calling for billions in new spending to combat unemployment while slashing $700 billion for domestic programs. It also raises taxes on banks and people making over $250,000 a year. When the dust settles, the federal deficit will rise to a record $1.6 trillion this year, or almost 11% of the nation's gross domestic product.
Joining us now is Marcus Mabry, international business editor for our partner, The New York Times. So, Marcus, when you're looking at the economic numbers, who's the most reliable?
The most reliable are the actual independent economists and
independent
the professional budget
economists.
Office. Yeah. What you have to do when you want to understand really what's at stake is you have to kind of looking at the partisan economists on the right and left is do what they do in Europe when they're reading newspapers. You read the right, you read the left, and you average them together and get the center.
Okay, well, we're going to be getting the center from you in just a moment, so stay with us.
Toyota says it will have answers today for the millions of drivers affected by last week's massive recall. In about a half an hour, Toyota will announce its plan to fix gas pedals for nearly 4 million cars and trucks. In Haiti now. Voices of orphaned children singing at a special camp in Port-au-Prince set up for them. Aid agencies are rushing to find thousands of children made homeless by the earthquake, many of whom are still roaming the streets. This comes as 10 Americans will be in court today on suspicion of trying to take 33 children out of the country without permission. This pastor, who's from the same Idaho church as many of the Americans being held, says it was an honest mistake.
It was just largely a misunderstanding that they thought they had the paperwork they needed. It appears that they were missing a particular document.
Meanwhile, the airlift of injured Haitians to the U.S. for medical treatment will resume today. Flights had been suspended for several days after hospitals in Florida complained they were overloaded.
For the past 25 years, the main Pentagon strategy has been preparing the military to fight two conventional wars at once. Today, the Pentagon says it will refocus the military on being ready for numerous smaller conflicts at the same time. And it was ladies' night at the Grammys.
Everywhere I'm looking now.
Beyonce was the big winner. She took home 6 war awards. That's a record. She did, though, lose Album of the Year to country queen Taylor Swift. Swift took home 4 awards on her own. Looking at the markets, Asian markets are up. European indices are mixed. Futures are up. The Dow will start at 10,067. The S&P at 1,073. And the NASDAQ opens at 2,147. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about family life because it's Monday. And we're going to ask, how do couples stay together? If money is the number one cause of divorce, can you keep your money separate? Talk about that later.
The president tightening the nation's belt.
Like any cash-strapped family, we will work within a budget to invest in what we need and sacrifice what we don't.
Are you any cash-strapped family? Call us and tell us how you are managing your budget woes. 877-8-MY-TAKE or post it to our website, thetakeaway.org. All the agenda this morning with Marcus Mabry and Rob Watson of the BBC.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlie.
Our government,
the economy,
put Americans back to work,
freeze government spending,
alternative sources of finance.
Just to give you a sense of perspective. Oh, what's going on?
Good morning. It's Monday morning. Time to take a look at what's on the schedule. What's on the agenda for this week? And here to let us know, Marcus Mabry, international business editor for our partner, The New York Times. And Rob Watson also joins us, political correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're going to be talking a lot about money this week, Marcus, right? I mean, we have a lot of economic numbers coming out, and the job numbers for January are coming out on Friday. So what do you think? Are these numbers for January going to give us a picture for the rest of the year?
In this case, they will. You know, that old saying that when it comes to markets and money, January often sets the course for the year. As goes January, so goes the year. In this case, it will be true for job creation. It's despite the fact that Americans aren't feeling the end of the recession as much as they'd like to, we do expect there to be an increase in jobs this month and gaining momentum as the year goes on. Jobs really increasing by the end of the year, a much better feeling amongst the American people and American workers.
So you agree with some analysts who say we're going to actually adding jobs next month?
I'm not going to
go there.
we are still too close, I think, to the turning point of whether or not we're adding or losing a little bit.
Okay, but what about the markets? Because the S&P stocks had a terrible month in January. Where are the markets going? Is that...
Well, if the markets keep doing what they did in January,
I was going to say
it's going to be a very painful year. Well, you know, you have two things here. You have number one, job creation always follows the economic cycle because it's looking backwards, whereas the markets often precede the economic cycle. So the markets actually are anticipating future profits for corporations and for shareholders. So when they start to go down, that means that people think, well, you know, things don't look so great in the longer term. So it's a kind of looking at two different sides of the train: the top, the beginning of the train, and the end of the train. But secondly, also, last year was a phenomenal year for the markets after a lot of down time, and we expect January this year was a correction that probably won't, you know, presage exactly what happened for the rest of the year, because if it does, we're all going to be a lot poorer, even if we still have jobs.
Well, speaking of being poor, President Obama is set to present his 2011 budget this week. We're going to be talking about that in detail later in the hour. But what do you expect some of the—he's talking about freezing spending. Where do we expect these cuts to be?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the president proposes a budget, and Congress doesn't actually vote on the whole thing, you know. So he'll propose some cuts that he proposed last year, things like consolidating education programs, things like closing down the kind of abandoned mines program, which gives states money to shut abandoned mines. These are all little things around the edges that last year, again, Congress ignored most of his suggestions on cuts. They spent all the money, you know, he suggested they spend, but they didn't cut as much as he suggested they cut. This is a perennial problem with Congress. This is a president who promised in the State of the Union he's actually going to hold Congress's feet to the fire now and veto spending bills if he has to, unless they come along with the cuts. The Democrats seem very dedicated, so far without Republican support, to reinstate the pay-as-you-go rules, meaning if you add spending, you have to cut somewhere else. If you want to decrease someone's taxes, you have to find cuts somewhere else. So we'll see if they actually can bring that back in line. But that's what the Democrats plan to do. Over the long term, you'd reduce this massive record $1.6 trillion deficit that he's going to propose with this year's budget. He would reduce that by 2013 by half. We'll see if they can pull it off, though, because, again, the politics of it are not nearly as easy as the math.
Okay. Rob Watson, let's turn to you. Speaking of international news, because the trial of five American terrorist suspects begins in Pakistan this week, what are we hearing about this trial?
Well, it's certainly a very interesting one for the United States, because it raises this broader issue of, does the United States need to be as worried about homegrown Islamic extremism amongst its Muslim population, particularly those born in places like Pakistan, Egypt, and Somalia, as, for example, governments are very much so in Europe. Now, up to now, as far as I understand this case, the five are accused of wanting to make contact with an extremist Islamic group in the northwest of Pakistan.
They've also complained, these five young Muslims, they disappeared late last year and showed up in Pakistan. They've complained that they've been tortured. Has there been evidence of that?
Well, you know how it is with these kind of cases. You get lots of allegations. There have certainly been many in the past against the Pakistani authorities. They are, of course, incredibly difficult to verify. As things stand, the attitude that the U.S. authorities seem to have over this case is, let's wait and see for the details to come out. But I think it's certainly the case that the FBI were blindsided a bit about this. They apparently first heard of the possible case against these five after their families had handed over certain computer and video evidence to an American Muslim group who then got in touch with the FBI.
Well, let's stay overseas with you still, Rob, and talk about the U.S. and Russia. They're going to start negotiating again today in Geneva to revamp the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty. The goal is to reduce the number of nuclear arms out there. What do we expect from the negotiations? Is there going to be a new tack?
Well, we keep hearing that they are very, very close indeed to an agreement. As you say, the purpose of this treaty is to get those long-range strategic warheads down to between, say, 1,500 and 1,675. At the moment, the U.S. is supposed to have just over 2,000, the Russians about 1,000. And this was always seen as perhaps the easiest thing that the Russians and the Americans could do to reset their relationship, to use that well-known phrase. I think perhaps most interestingly, you know, it may be less of a problem for Russian and American negotiators to reach an agreement than it might be to get any treaty ratified in the Senate.
Okay, that's Rob Watson, correspondent for our partner, the BBC. And Marcus, let's go back to you to wrap up here, because Paul Volcker is going to be testifying at a congressional hearing on Tuesday. Is this the man that's coming out of the Obama administration to kind of take some of the heat off of Geithner?
Well, this is very exciting. Some would say that he's displacing Geithner somewhat. After the administration has not had a lot of success, or even really, you have to say, shown a lot of backbone enforcing financial reform on Wall Street, despite, you know, the huge catastrophe we faced.
And despite that Volcker was recommending all this months and months and months ago.
Absolutely. Now, suddenly, it seems, and the president came out last week with Volcker by his side, and it seems like, you know, he's going to enforce the Volcker rules on American banks. We're not totally sure what the Volcker rules are. Exactly. We're hoping on Tuesday to get more elucidation, but we hope that we expect it to be that actually commercial banks will not be able to trade nearly as much in things like derivatives and commodities.
Okay, we'll see if that happens. Marcus Mabry, International Business Editor for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks.
Thank you.
And now at 15 minutes past the hour, let's check in on the top stories.
We begin in Pakistan. Officials are trying to confirm reports that a major Taliban leader, Hakimullah Massoud, was killed last month by a U.S. drone attack. Massoud is linked to the deadly suicide bombing against the CIA in Afghanistan. And in Afghanistan, at least 29 U.S. troops died in January, making it the second deadliest month since the war began. Also in the country, Taliban leaders there have responded to a reconciliation offer by Afghan President Hamid Karzai. They say they won't consider peace negotiations with the government until international troops withdraw from the country. Karzai had this response.
On the statement of someone from the Taliban that they will talk only if the American forces withdraw, that's not a meaningful gesture.
The Taliban leaders say the requirement is non-negotiable. David Petraeus predicted as much last week.
Yeah, he kind of did. Moving to Iraq, a suicide bomber walking among Shiite pilgrims killed at least 41 people in northern Baghdad. Back at home, the president unveils his $3.8 trillion budget proposal this morning. It includes a record $1.6 trillion deficit. And on NBC, senior White House advisor David Axelrod said both sides of the aisle need to commit to reducing the deficit.
We have to get serious about this. So I think the American people will punish any party who they believe is playing politics ahead of solving problems.
One White House plan to reduce the deficit is a three-year spending freeze, and we're going to find out the details of that proposal today. That's a look at some of the stories we're watching this morning. Coming up,
we have to get serious.
It's sweet 16 for Roger.
Roger Federer
David
wins
Axelrod
again.
Playing tennis.
That's
there.
Right. It's amazing, isn't it? At the Australian Open. Highlights from the tournament coming up.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.